service continues on page 355 in the Red Book of Common Prayer. Alleluia, Christ is risen.
Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord be with you.
And also
let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, who in the Paschal mystery established the new covenant of reconciliation, grant that all who have been reborn into the fellowship of Christ's body may show forth in their lives what they profess by their faith. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
Our first reading is from the book of Acts. When the captain and the temple police had brought the apostles out of the temple, they had them stand before the council. The high priest questioned them, saying, "We gave you strict orders not to teach in this name, yet here you have filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you are determined to bring this man's blood on us." But Peter and the apostles answered, "We must obey God rather than any human authority. The God of our ancestors raised up Jesus, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him at his right hand as leader and savior, that he might give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. And we are witnesses to these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." The word of the Lord.
The psalm for today is Psalm 118, found in your insert. The Lord is my strength and my song.
And he has become my salvation.
There is a sound of exultation and victory. The right hand of the Lord has triumphed. I shall not die, but live.
And declare the words of the Lord.
The Lord has punished me sorely,
but he did not hand me over to death.
Open for me the gates of righteousness.
I will enter them. I will offer thanks to the Lord.
This is the gate of the Lord.
He who is righteous may enter.
I will give thanks to you, for you answered me. The same stone which the builders rejected
has become the chief cornerstone.
This is the Lord's doing.
And it is marvelous in our eyes.
On this day, the Lord has acted.
We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Hosanna, Lord, Hosanna.
Lord, send us now success.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.
We bless you from the house of the Lord.
God is the Lord. He has shined upon us.
Form a procession of branches up to the horns of the altar.
You are my God, and I will thank you.
You are my God, and I will exalt you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His mercy endures forever.
The second reading is from the Revelation of the Apostle John, and reading from the first chapter. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and freed us from our sins by his blood and made us to be a kingdom, priests serving his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Look, he is coming with the clouds. Every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and on his account all the tribes of the earth will wail. So it is to be. Amen. I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. The word of the Lord.
Gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ according to St. John, the 20th chapter.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews. Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said, after he said this, he showed them his hands and his feet, his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not there with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "So I see the mark of the hands, the nails on his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, the disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." And he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him and said, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written to you so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and through believing you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. Amen. Please be seated. You know, I doubt that I'm going to live to 100 years old. Who knows? But I doubt that I am. I doubt that unicorns exist. Although with fairies, I think it's my Irish blood or Tinkerbell. I'm not. It's a little more room for that. I doubt that he's telling the truth because he never tells the truth. I doubt that the Orioles will win the World Series, although I have not seen a baseball game in 20 years and don't keep up with who's who anymore. We all have doubts, and they come from different places in our lives, right? There's different ways to doubt. And in this season, we're asked to believe, not doubt. But doubt is a part of our lives. And we look at it, and some of it is, it's not scientifically evident that this is going to be or happen. And others are like, well, it's a myth, right? There's a lot of ways to look at it. But today's story in the gospel begins with the apostles are behind closed doors because they are afraid. And they're afraid because they just watched Jesus be crucified 3 days earlier. And they don't know what's going to happen. Are they after us as well? And so they're locked in for fear. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes to them that same night that they heard that he had risen. And he shows them his hands and his side. And he says, "Peace be with you." And twice he says, "Peace be with you." And then he breathes the Holy Spirit upon them and tells them that they are to witness the things that they have seen. He said, "Just as the Father has sent me, I am sending you to go do these things." And he left or he disappeared. We don't know. He wasn't there anymore. And they said, "But Thomas wasn't there. Who knows why he was out in the village wandering around, but he wasn't there." And when he came back, they told him. And he said, "Unless I touch the nails in his hand and the wound in his side, I can't believe." Now, for most of us, we understand that dead is dead, right? And even though Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, and they all knew Lazarus, when God raised Jesus from the dead, resurrected him, they knew that something different had happened. The whole world shifted. But they didn't know yet what it meant. They had heard Jesus say, I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to be killed. And then 3 days later, I'm going to be raised from the dead. But he didn't say, and then this is where what we're going to be doing. This is where we're headed. This is the plan. And so they're saying, okay, now he's told us to go and witness these things that we have seen. Not so sure what that means. And so we're left with that doubt and those questions. And Paul Tillich wrote in his Dynamics of Faith, "We doubt the most important things in life because our life depends on them. And usually they are beyond our ability to verify." So we're not talking about doubting scientific knowledge. We're talking about doubting those things that we can't verify. We don't have concrete evidence, and yet our life depends on them. Joan Chittister, who is a Roman Catholic nun who has written several books about questioning our faith or doubting our faith, wrestling with our faith so that our faith may be deepened. And Rowan Williams, who was the former Archbishop of Canterbury, together they wrote a book called Uncommon Gratitude, and it's Alleluia for Everything. How do we give thanks for everything? And in the second chapter that was entitled Doubt, and they wrote, "There is simply a point in life when reason fails to satisfy our awareness of what is clearly unreasonable and clearly real at the same time, like love and self-sacrifice and truth and good. Data does not exist to explain these unexplainable things. Then only the doubt that opens our hearts to what we cannot comprehend, only the doubt that makes us rapidly pursue the truth, only the doubt that moves us beyond complacency, only the doubt that corrects our mythologies not worthy of faith can lead us to the pure air of spiritual truth." It's that wrestling with it. We know this is important. We have to know. And how do we get there? What we know is in the first reading today from the book of Acts, somehow the apostles got there. They went from hiding in fear, afraid to go outside, not sure what to do next. And in the book of Acts, we hear that they are being taken by the temple police to speak to the council. And we only hear part of the story today. And the council says, "We gave you strict orders to stop talking about him. Stop doing deeds in his name." And yet, what do? We see you back up at the temple. Like, what are we going to do with you? And the council is, it says they are so enraged that they want to kill them. And the part we don't hear today is in Acts 1:8. Jesus says, "I am sending you to witness to the world the things that you have seen." And he commissions them yet again to do the things in his name, to preach and teach and heal and exercise and witness their faith. And what we don't hear today is they were already had been imprisoned, and the angel released them. The council keeps bringing them back in, and they just keep going, and they keep doing acts of power in his name. And the council is saying, "We gave you strict orders." And Peter said, "I can't do anything but obey God. We have no choice. This is the same God," he tells them, "the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, who raised Jesus from the dead. We have no choice." And what we don't hear today is Gamaliel, part of the council, says to the council, "What if this is of God? What if this is?" And he said, "You know what? Let's just let him go. We'll flog him. We'll let him go. And if it's of God, it's going to endure. And if it's not, they'll disappear." And then the apostles rejoiced because they were worthy to be shamed. They were worthy to be punished in his name. I don't know what happened to them between hiding in a locked room and being willing to be imprisoned and flogged and to continue to display, demonstrate, witness teach, preach, heal, exercise in front of the authorities. But somehow they got there. And so when we go back to today's gospel, it says a week later, Jesus reappears to them. It's been a full week, but this time Thomas is with them. And Jesus says, "Peace be with you." Like, do not let your hearts be troubled. And then he turns to Thomas without Thomas saying a word, and he says, "Touch the nail wounds in my hands. Put your hand in my side." And Thomas, without missing a beat, says, "My Lord and my God." He knows. And Jesus said, "Did you know because you had this witness? Blessed are those who believe without seeing." And that's what we're asked to do. We're asked to believe without touching the wounds in Jesus' hands and side. And yet we know it to be true. We know the power of the Holy Spirit. We too have been breathed on by the waters of baptism and received the Holy Spirit. We too have been commissioned to go and witness these stories. And then Jesus says at the end of this, "And many other acts were done, but these were written down so that we too may witness, so that we too may know that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, so that we too, if we believe, may have life." And it doesn't mean be born, have life. Some people use the term born again. So that we have received the Holy Spirit, we have received the word of Christ, so that we have received the life that God has intended for us. I'm going to ask you, do you believe in the power of the Holy Spirit that was given to you in baptism? Do you believe in the power of the death-defying love of God that is in each and every one of you? And if you do, what are you going to do with it? Amen. I invite you to stand as you are able and join with me in saying the Nicene Creed on page 358. Page 358. We believe in one God,
the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God.
The people is found on page 387 of the Red Book of Common Prayer, Form 3. Father, we pray for your holy Catholic Church,
that we all may be one,
Grant that every member of the church may truly and humbly serve you.
Let your name be glorified for all people.
We pray for all bishops, priests, and deacons. We pray for all who govern and hold authority in the nations of the world.
That there may be justice and peace on earth.
Give us grace to do your will in all that we undertake.
That our works may find favor in your sight.
Have compassion for those who suffer from any grief or trouble.
That they may be delivered from their distress.
Give to the departed eternal rest. We praise you for your saints who have entered into joy.
May they also come to share in your heavenly kingdom.
Let us pray for our own needs and those of others.
We pray for Gladys, Autumn.
O Lord our God, accept the fervent prayers of your people, and the multitude of your mercies look with compassion upon us and all who turn to you for help. For you are gracious, O lover of souls, and to you we give glory, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Thank you. Hi, Leah.
Hi. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
An energetic group this morning. If you are a guest or a visitor, I invite you to sign the guest book at the back, and everyone is invited to come to coffee hour downstairs immediately following the service. A couple of announcements. The bulletin says that there's book group tomorrow. There's not. But book group is the following week, and we're starting a new book by Mitch Albom, so I invite you to consider coming to the book group. It's going to be four sessions before I leave the first and third Mondays of the month. You'll see that there's a lot of opportunities to engage in ministry here. If there's something that piques your interest, please let me know. And there are several trainings lined up for the next couple of weeks. We sure can use a little extra help in a little extra areas, and it lightens the load of everybody. Same thing with coffee hour. I didn't put that on there, but if you are interested in learning how to do coffee hour, you can just ask and someone will pair with you. You can ask me and I'll let you know. And if you haven't signed up for a while, please do.
Thank you.
We will be using Eucharistic Prayer C throughout the Easter season. Eucharistic Prayer C begins on page 369. Page 369. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
God of all power, ruler of the universe, you are worthy of glory and praise. At your command, all things came to be, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets and their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with memory, reason, and skill. You made us the rulers of creation, but we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again, you called us to return. Through your prophets and sages, you revealed your righteous law. And in the fullness of time, you sent your only son, born of a woman, to fulfill your law, to open for us the way of freedom and peace.
By his blood, he reconciled us. By his wounds, we are healed.
And therefore, we praise you, joining with heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. And so, Father, we who have been redeemed by him and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. On the night he was betrayed, he took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you the sacrifice of thanksgiving, Lord God of our ancestors, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, open our eyes to see your hand at work in the world about us. Deliver us from the presumption of coming to this table for solace only and not for strength, for pardon only and not for renewal. Let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Accept these prayers and praises, Father, through Jesus Christ, our great High Priest, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit your church gives honor, glory, and worship from generation to generation. Amen.
Amen.
These are the gifts of God for the people of God.
How great is our God?
Post-communion prayer is found on page 365. Let us pray. Eternal God, Heavenly Father, you have graciously
accepted us as living members of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, and you have fed us with spiritual food in the sacrament of his body and blood. Send us now into the world in peace and grant us strength and courage to love and serve you with gladness and singleness of heart. Through Christ our Lord.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be upon you and remain with you forever. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.